KTD News. I'm Dave McGrath. Now, 10 past 8, the morning show with Greg Berg is next.
And we welcome you to the Friday Morning Show on WGTD. I'm Gregory Berg. And that is the incomparable music of George Frideric Handel, and a brief taste of arguably his greatest work, the oratorio Messiah. Well, we here in southeastern Wisconsin have the opportunity to encounter this work once again with yet another sing-along Messiah performance at First United Methodist Church in Kenosha. And joining me here in the studios of WGTD to talk about Sunday night sing-along Messiah is Jessica DeBoer, who not only will be playing viola in the orchestra for Sunday night's performance, but has also been very busy behind the scenes getting this performance prepared and ready to go, assembling soloists and orchestra members, assembling the scores that will be lent out to those who need them, and attending to a whole lot of other details to make this yet another sparkling and wonderful event. So, Jessica DeBoer, we welcome you back to the morning show.
Thank you. Glad to be back.
So, first of all, let's get a little historical overview about just how long this has been going on at First United Methodist, and you'll have to remind me if the very first sing-along Messiahs predate you being on the scene. I think
The only one I missed was the very first one, which was in 2005.
And you were here.
I was here in town. My husband and I moved here to Kenosha in 2005 in the summer because he is an orchestra teacher with KUSD, and he took a job, got hired to teach at McKinley Middle School. So we moved here then in 2005, and so it just wasn't on our radar that year because we were new in town and we hadn't started attending First United Methodist. And so the first one that I was involved in was in 2006. So the second one, and I've been playing in every one since. I can't believe it's been that long.
Wow. So this was something that was launched by someone well-known to many in the community, David Scripsima.
Yes.
Who helped oversee a really nice fine arts series at your church, which you ultimately took over. And so... at some point, you weren't just playing in this,
right,
but also sort of taking over,
yes,
the details. At what point did that happen?
Now I should have done my research. I think I started doing that in 2012 or 13, around there. So, yeah, 10 years ago.
Well, happy anniversary.
Oh, gee, thanks. So it's been a while, yeah.
So for somebody who has never attended a sing-along Messiah performance, it would probably be good for us to describe what unfolds and what makes it a sing-along performance,
right,
of Messiah,
sure,
versus just a performance of Messiah.
Right. So there's different types of pieces within the Messiah, right? There's pieces for solo voice, which we have professional soloists coming to sing those parts, and they're just fantastic. But then, of course, there are choruses that are part of the piece. And so when there's a chorus, if you are in the audience and feel so inclined, we invite you to sing along with the chorus parts. We have music available at the church for you to use while you're there. Or if you have your own score, you can bring that as well. But so there's a good handful of choruses that we invite the audience to sing along with. And if you are someone who is not a singer, that is okay as well. We also have plenty of seating for people who just want to come and listen and enjoy. So don't feel like you have to sing. You do not have to sing. So don't be afraid. So please come, even if you don't want to sing.
Absolutely. So explain what of the work we're going to be doing. Because, of course, if we were doing the entire oratorio, we would be talking about
three hours.
Nearly.
Yeah,
and it's all wonderful stuff.
Right.
But I mean, that's maybe maybe more than people would bargain for. So explain exactly what of the work will be done.
We don't do the whole thing. We do most of the Christmas portion. We do a little bit of the second and third parts. Of course, the Hallelujah Chorus comes from the Easter portion of the work, but we of course do that one. That's our big closing chorus. So it's not that long. I would say it's probably an hour and 15 minutes or so.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a lovely sampling of what the work has to offer. And of course, all of the Christmas portion we do. So
very good. So what was your first encounter with Handel's Messiah?
Oh, well, my parents are both musical, and so it would play. My dad would play it in the house, and my parents would be singing along in the background. But so I've known it for a long time. But when I was in college, I got roped into playing the entire work. We did the Christmas portion at Christmas, and then in the spring we did the other two parts. Mm. So that was fun. So I've done the whole thing before, but then, you know, you play Christmas Pops concerts here and there, and you always play the Hallelujah Chorus and but this is the, you know, playing it with first is something that now I do every year. So it's a wonderful work to revisit over and over again, because it really is, it keeps you on your toes as a musician.
Right. There's nothing very easy about it, that's for sure.
It's a good work.
Right. And of course, it's also it's a work that can be done in a lot of different ways.
Sure.
And so even if you've played it before, that doesn't mean it's going to be exactly the same experience. This is probably a good moment for you to talk about the musicians who, generally speaking, comprise the orchestra. It's never precisely the same group year after year.
No, but it's awfully close.
Right.
We have a fantastic orchestra. All of our musicians are professionals that play with Kenosha Symphony, Racine Symphony, other groups around in Milwaukee and Northern Illinois. So they are all very dear friends. Every year in the fall, probably around September, I start getting, you know, texts and emails saying, "Hey, are we doing Messiah? Can I play Messiah again? It's my favorite concert ever." So we are a wonderful little family. We love to play it, and it's so heartening to hear all my friends say, "Oh, it's my favorite concert. I'm so excited. I can't wait."
Right.
So I'm very glad.
And when I look over that orchestra, one thing that is always so gratifying to me, maybe terrifying too, but is the fact that there are conductors and teachers.
Lots
of them.
Professors,
in the group.
Right. We have a lot of wonderful musicians in this area. And so I'm just really grateful to have good friends who are willing, but also fantastic performers who make it so great to do, because we can just, you know, I trust them to be able to just come in. We rehearse a little and we're like, all right, let's go. We're ready to go.
It's a good time for us to talk about the fact that there is actually one and only one rehearsal for this event.
And it's the day of, and we play it out and then we go.
Hmm. So what else happens behind the scenes that you are responsible for taking care of?
Sure. I have to hire the musicians, and that took place a while back. But just coordinating with you, because of course, you know, I don't think you've mentioned, but our illustrious leader for this program is Greg. He's the one that conducts it every year. And of course, having you get all of the soloists lined up, because you have all those connections with the singers, of course. But then just, you know, getting the parts out to the musicians, whether that's a physical piece of music or through email, a scanned part, coordinating with our graphics guy at church to get posters made and talking to the Kenosha News and coming to talk on the radio with you and getting the music ready and getting the food ready because we feed all of our wonderful performers. So it's just a lot of little pieces behind. Oh, you know, ordering the checks so that I can pay my lovely friends for their work, right? So it's, you know, just a lot of little items to cross off my list, but it all gets done every year. And, you know, oh, and praying for good weather, that's another thing, which is good this year. No snow, so, you know, please come. There won't be a snowstorm this year, I promise.
Right. So I was, as I'm kind of looking back over the last couple of decades, there have been...
Yes.
More than one occasion where it's been very bad weather.
Right. We had to have a soloist cancel at the last minute one year because she was stuck
up north.
Yeah, and
Marshfield or
something. It was terrible. And it was bad. So we're really grateful to have 40-some degrees and no rain and good weather on the way for Sunday. You're welcome.
Well, and of course, in some respects... When you look out the window and it doesn't look like Christmas, in some respects, you even more need events like this and
sure.
other things going on to remind you of what
right.
the season
this
actually
is. Not
is.
Going to be a white Christmas, everybody. Sorry to say. So come to the Messiah and feel the cheer.
For those of you just joining us, I'm talking in part one of today's morning show with Jessica DeBoer, who coordinates the sing-along Messiah performance at First United Methodist Church in Kenosha, the corner of Sheridan Road and 60th Street. That sing-along Messiah performance will be occurring Sunday evening, December 17th at 6 p.m. So Jessica, when you think about this work... first of all, just somebody who's heard it and loves it, but also as someone who plays it.
Yeah.
Are there particular passages in Handel's Messiah that you especially love?
Well, you know, I'm kind of biased. I play the viola, and, you know, I know that we are the butt of many jokes, us violas. But I will say that the viola part in this work is it's challenging. It's not your typical Baroque piece of music where the violas kind of get the boring part in the background. We have some really wonderful things to play. And so my favorite work is The People That Walked in Darkness, which is a bass aria. It's going to be sung by Mike Anderle, who is just great. And we're so excited he's coming back from Missouri to sing. Mm-hmm. And so it's my favorite because we have the melody almost the whole time. And it's a challenging and fun melody to play. So I really enjoy playing that one. That's my favorite, but I'm a little biased.
I understand. Well, let's hear a little bit of that. And that is a really terrific moment in this Christmas portion. And what's kind of interesting is really it's probably better to even think of it as the Advent portion because
sure.
a fair amount of the opening is as much Advent as Christmas
yes.
and kind of longing and that sort
waiting,
of thing. Longing
yes.
and waiting
mm-hmm.
and so on. And this certainly is emblematic of that particular theme. So let's listen to at least a little bit of this moment from the Christmas portion or the first portion of Handel's Messiah. This is going to be the British bass Gwyn Howell with the Chicago Symphony led by Sir Georg Scholti. And so let's hear a little bit of this moment from Handel's Messiah.
shall come to thy light, and kings to the blindness of thy rising.
A bit of Jessica DeBoer's favorite portion of Handel's Messiah, and namely the bass recit and aria, "For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light." We're talking with Jessica DeBoer about the sing-along Messiah at First United Methodist Church that is going to be happening Sunday evening at 6 p.m. So Jessica is somebody who plays in the orchestra. Describe some of the challenges that come from playing a piece like Messiah. I mean, what makes it, in a sense, an arduous challenge, even if you're not playing the whole thing?
Sure. It is a... Well, you can't just turn your brain off, right? Sometimes we play, you know, we musicians at Christmas time, we play Leroy Anderson's Sleigh Ride, and we play Christmas Festival, and we play them every year over and over and over. And that's true about Messiah, too. We play it over and over and over. But unlike those other pieces, it really is a piece that keeps you on your toes, and you have to be really focused and paying attention, and also, you know, being careful to be sensitive to the choir and to the soloists, and making sure that we are not being too loud or too, you know, playing in the wrong style. So it is a piece that we have to really pay attention and stay focused. We can't just kind of zone out like we might do for another Pops concert, you know, at an orchestra. We love those pieces as well, but, you know, let's just be honest, they're not as challenging.
Right. Yes, and of course, because there are a whole lot of different ways to do this work, and a lot of different ways to approach it, that in and of itself makes it challenging for any given musician, especially one who's played it a lot.
Right.
Is that you have,
right,
on some level, all these previous performances, mm-hmm, and tempos kind of floating around in your head.
Sure.
And you have to be awake to this moment, mm-hmm, and this soloist and this conductor,
yep,
and what's going to happen in this instance.
In this year, yep, this performance.
Absolutely. Let's talk for a moment about how it begins with the overture.
Yes. We get the orchestra gets that's our big moment, right? There's no soloist, there's no choir. That's our one moment where we really get to shine. We do have the Pastoral Symphony in the middle, but the overture really is a lovely piece of just wonderful conversation within the orchestra. All of the sections, you know, sort of a fugue in a way, this bounces around. We get to play a lovely melody, and it really sets the tone for the next pieces that come after it, because we are... Although it is a minor piece, and the things that come after it are quite uplifting. So, mm-hmm, in a way, now that I think about it, it is sort of a not typical of what's coming after it. Because after it, we have the tenor singing Comfort Ye, and that lovely tenor aria that starts the whole piece. And,
absolutely.
And so,
let's hear the end of the overture, and
yeah,
then the beginning of the tenor's entrance on the scene. Again, this is all from the Christmas portion of Handel's Messiah.
Thank you.
What an exquisite way to begin this this oratorio by Handel. And again, we've been sampling the London compact disc conducted by the late Sir Georg Schulte. So Jessica DeBoer, it's probably important for us to make sure people understand the nature of this performance and what they need to do in order to come and be a part of this Sunday evening.
Yes, please. The concert begins at 6 p.m. The doors to the sanctuary will open at 5:30, so anytime after that, you're welcome to enter. There's no admission fee. This is a free performance. There are no tickets, so all you have to do is just come and enjoy. If you don't want to sing, you do not have to sing. Please do not feel that you have to sing. We have wonderful seating up in the balcony for those who would just like to listen. And so we also have the sanctuary floor arranged by voice part. So find your soprano, alto, tenor, or bass friends and sit with them and sing along and enjoy those wonderful choruses that we're going to have you singing with us or not singing, and enjoy the performance from the balcony as well. We have music available to borrow. We have choral scores for you to use, and then or if you, like I said, if you have your own, you're welcome to bring that and just enjoy a lovely tradition that we've had at our church for so many years. We're so happy to offer this to our community.
Wonderful. Jessica DeBoer, the coordinator behind the scenes and also a member of the viola section for Sunday night's sing-along performance of Handel's Messiah. Thank you so much, Jessica.
Thanks for having me.
And part two of today's program coming up in just a moment here on WGTD. I have a feeling some of you will recognize that. It's the stirring opening measures of the Christmas Festival of Leroy Anderson. And it is one of a number of pieces that have been a continuing and traditional staple on one of the happiest occasions of the holiday season here in southeastern Wisconsin, the annual Christmas concert by the Kenosha Pops Concert Band. I'm really happy to have Craig Gall, the musical director of the band, with me over the phone to talk about the next Christmas concert by the group, which is coming up tomorrow night at Siebert Chapel at 7 o'clock, a concert that is completely free and open to the public, conceived with the whole family in mind, an absolutely wonderful way to ring in the holidays. Craig Gall, we welcome you back to the morning show.
Always a pleasure to be with you, Greg.
I'm glad we can have this conversation. I'm trying to remember the last time we talked. I suspect it was sometime this past summer. I mean, in terms of talking on the morning show, talking about the summer season. Can you give us a little historical overview in terms of how long the Kenosha Pops has done a Christmas concert?
The very first Christmas concert we played was at Reuther High School, the old Bradford, in the auditorium. And it was the very first year I took over as the conductor of the band after Frank Germanaro retired for the first time, which would have been in December of 2003. And we have been doing an annual concert ever since, with the exception of one year that was snowed out. And the other exception was the year we had to cancel because of COVID. But I believe, if my math is correct, this is our 20th Christmas concert.
Wow, the 20th anniversary of the first. And so this makes for an especially festive occasion. Talk about the matter of the band getting together after several months away from one another. They, of course, play a full summer season of concerts at the Pennoyer Park Bandshell. But then, of course, real life intrudes and the band, in a sense, goes on hiatus. So what does it feel like for you and for the members of the band to, in a sense, recongregate for this occasion every year?
Well, I think personally for me and for many of the band members, I think everyone looks forward to getting together for this concert. As you mentioned, we haven't seen each other since the first week of August. We are by design a summer band. We are hired by the city of Kenosha to present 10 summer concerts throughout the summer months. And this is kind of an extra thing that we do for the city. And we all look forward to seeing each other again. We're able to accomplish all of this on one afternoon and one evening. We are going to be getting together Saturday afternoon to rehearse in the Siebert Chapel, and then we're going to give a downbeat at 7 o'clock Saturday night and hope for the best. it's just fun music, and everybody enjoys seeing each other again and rekindling those old friendships from across the years.
I suspect that when you choose repertoire, you in part are choosing it mindful of the reality that there will be one and only one rehearsal. And so it can't be an hour and 15 minutes of music that is brand new to the band. So what exactly is the ratio, if you've ever stopped to consider it, in terms of old chestnuts that they either play every year or every other year versus pieces that are maybe new additions to the library or that the band has not played in a long, long time?
We do approximately 15 selections on these Christmas concerts. And if we do throw in anything new, we try to limit it to three or four pieces. And a lot of the rest of the stuff is things that we recycle, not necessarily from year to year, but we look back at programs that we've done over the past, say, 5 or 10 years, and we'll start pulling music from those concerts so that it's still fresh for the audience and really for the band as well. This year we have two or three new selections that the band has not seen before. One is a Cesare Giovannini piece that depicts a sleigh ride. It's called Silver Sleigh, and that's brand new to the concert this year. Dr. Jim Ripley, our host, and of course the director of bands at Carthage, he will be directing a piece the band hasn't seen before, and a beautiful arrangement of Away in the Manger. And then we're also dipping back to the last time. The last time we played this selection was back in 2005, and it is an arrangement of the beautiful Thanksgiving hymn, "We Gather Together to Ask the Lord's Blessing." Mm. Now, this is certainly not a Christmas song, but what a gorgeous, gorgeous old hymn melody that has been set for band. And I don't think any of the people in the band are going to remember playing this because it goes back so many years since we programmed it last. As far as the rest of the stuff you'll be hearing Saturday night, it's all fairly recent performances that we've had with the band, as I said, over the past 5 or 10 years. And so it's not like they're seeing everything that we're going to be playing Saturday night for the first time, which makes life a little easier for all of us.
Right. I think another thing that's probably worth mentioning is that we are talking about the members of the band, who most of whom play quite regularly all year round. I mean, versus probably certain community band situations where you have people who dust off their horn or dust off their flute in early June and play all summer and then put it away till the following summer. We have so many members of the band, of course, that are active musicians, active teachers, and so on. So not
Absolutely.
Too many members are going to be coming to this rusty.
No, no, not at all. Well, some will be.
Sure.
Not all of them, but a real big contingent of our personnel are playing in many community groups. The Parkside Community Band, many of them play with the Racine Concert Band. They play during the off of the summer season as well. They have a handful of concerts that they do. And as you mentioned, we have a lot of music teachers in the band as well. So they're playing constantly with their kids and other groups in the area. So thankfully, a good chunk of the band has not put the horns away and won't be seeing them for the first time since August this weekend.
One thing that I have said repeatedly about the Kenosha Pops Band, particularly under your direction, but I think this was very much true under the direction of your predecessor as well, Frank Germanaro, is I've always appreciated during the summer and on this Christmas concert, it's very true as well, how a very nice balance between, let's say, musical substance, serious substance, and just plain fun, I think almost always is really nicely achieved. And I'm sure even with what is mostly a very lighthearted Christmas concert, you do really try to make sure that some really good music, if you know what I mean, is part of the mix.
Well, and that's again goes back to good programming. We realize that our concert audience is full of what's the lyric from the Christmas song, from kids from 1 to 92. We have to be catering to all of these ages in our audiences in summer and certainly this weekend at the Christmas concert. So Kathy Ripley, our assistant director, and I are very cognizant of that, and we want to make sure we have a nice mix of music. We have everything from Let It Snow on this concert to a rather heavy piece of concert music, the Farandole from the L'Arlésienne Suite of Bizet, which people more commonly known as the March of the King.
Right. Bum, and, bum, ba-dum.
What a great piece, and that's going to be opening up the concert Saturday night. But again, we have we're going to be doing a medley of Hanukkah songs on this concert, and we'll also be doing a medley of Johnny Marks Christmas carols, including Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree, which has gained some fame again here with Brenda Lee's recording finally charting after 65 years since she first recorded it. It's gotten to the number one spot on the Billboard charts this month. So It's a very, very nice mix of music, and Kathy and I always say it's going to be very hard for somebody not to walk away from this concert completely satisfied.
Let's enjoy a little sample of one of the lighter pieces on the program, and you were just mentioning it, a medley called Christmas Favorites, featuring all songs by the great Johnny Marks, Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, A Holly Jolly Christmas, and I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day. We can't hear all of them, but let's listen to the start of this medley called Christmas Favorites.
Thank you.
just a little bit of this really entertaining medley called Christmas Favorites. For those of you just joining us, we're speaking in this second portion of today's morning show with Craig Gall, the artistic director, musical director, I should say, of the Kenosha Pops Concert Band. They are about to perform what amounts to their 20th anniversary Christmas concert at Siebert Chapel on the campus of Carthage College tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, a concert that is absolutely free and open to the public. Craig Gall,
Can I share a little story about that medley that that you just played a little snippet of, those Johnny Marks carols?
Sure.
When we put that Christmas CD together, my goodness, I don't even know how old that is, Greg. Is there a copyright date on the back of that thing? I don't know. But
looks like 2011.
According 2011. To, okay, my goodness.
According to what's on the back of the CD. Yep.
Of course, all of these pieces, when we put them on CD, have to be licensed for copyright clearance. And these particular tunes, I had to call the actual Johnny Marks Publishing Company in New York City to be able to put this on CD, and I had to call them to find out if we had to pay any type of royalties to them. And so I called, and somebody answered the phone, and he said, "This is such and such Marks." And I said, "Oh, you're a Marks." He said, "Sure enough, here it was, Johnny Marks's son, who was still running the family publishing outfit." And I asked him, I said, "We're a community band here. We're putting this arrangement of your dad's music onto our Christmas CD." I said, "What do you want from us as far as a royalty?" And he said, "Do you think you guys are going to be making any kind of money on this?" And I said, "Well, we're going to be lucky if we even break even." And he said, "I tell you what, you send me a copy of the CD and we'll call it even." And that's exactly what I did. So number one, how cool was that? But number two, how cool was it for me to be talking to Johnny Marks' son?
Absolutely.
What a neat experience that was.
Great story. Craig, I want you to talk for a moment about the band playing in Siebert Chapel versus, of course, the location where they typically play, the beautiful Pennoyer Park Bandshell, which, of course, offers a special beauty all of its own, but a very different beauty from that one experiences when you hear the band in Siebert Chapel.
Well, Siebert offers us something that the Bandshell doesn't, and that's this thing called acoustics. It's such a reverberant hall. What you experience in Pennoyer Park is a very dry and not much of a resonant sound, and that can even the weather conditions each evening in Pennoyer Park can even affect the sound coming off of the stage. If it's a damp night, the sound of the band will not travel into the audience as much. So if it's a drier evening. We have none of that to worry about in Siebert. It's a beautiful location to watch a concert, but it's also a wonderful place to play a concert. I think that's another thing that the band looks forward to every year, is to be able to sit down and rehearse and play in that beautiful, beautiful space. Plus, we get to take advantage of the big pipe organ that sits behind the performance area. Greg, are going to be playing along on Leroy Anderson's Christmas Festival, and I think if we twist your arm hard enough, you'll probably play a solo selection on the organ for us as well Saturday night. So that's another plus for being inside.
Absolutely. Let's get a little awkwardness out of the way. I am singing on Saturday night, and so is my wife, Kathy, and we don't need to belabor the point, but I know that...
Oh, yes, we do.
No, please don't.
You're singing two please. Great pieces of music. And speaking of a variety of styles, Greg and Kathy are going to be singing a beautiful John Rutter carol that dates back to about 1984. It's called the Candlelight Carol, and is written in from the perspective of the Mother Mary. And just a beautiful melody. Of course, I love John Rutter. Music from the get-go. He just writes such great stuff. But in addition to that, Greg and Kathy are going to be singing a kind of a rambunctious arrangement of Let It Snow, Let It Snow. So we appreciate Kathy agreeing to sing with us again this year. It's always a treat, let me tell you.
Let's just hear just a little bit of that really exquisite piece by John Rutter that you mentioned.
Yes, this is
the aforementioned
beautiful carol,
Candlelight Carol. Here it is. Mr. Rutter knows how to write music. That is a little
such
bit of his
Candlelight Carol. Beautiful melody, huh?
It really, really is. And it's also a gorgeous setting for band. And I guess that's one thing that maybe to the average concert goer might be lost on them is the fact that essentially none of these pieces, I mean, in terms of, you know, for instance, what we just heard, John Rutter did not conceive of that to be played by a band. And
no, not at all. And so
someone has to come along and make a really good arrangement so that music sounds like he did. Like, that is exactly what he wanted it to sound like. And it seems to me that that is an exceptionally effective transcription for band.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that moment Saturday night. That's a beautiful, beautiful piece of music.
One of the things that, of course, adds to the sense of festivity Saturday night is that Siebert Chapel will look exceptionally lovely, as befits the season. Talk about that.
Well, we always have a bunch of poinsettias brought in from Anton's on the south side of town there, and part of the festivities of the evening will be the poinsettia giveaway, and I'm not sure how people are going to be picked to win the plants Saturday night. That's up to the board of directors, but that's always an exciting time. You'll see the band all wearing either Santa hats or reindeer. What do they call those things? Reindeer, not antenna.
Antlers,
horns.
Antlers?
Antlers. Oh, my gosh.
Long day.
And I'm sure all of our audience will be dressed up as well. And I don't know if any of the decorations will still be up from the Carthage Christmas Festival either. That may or may be gone by that point. But we try to keep it festive.
Right. So it ends up being a really, really lovely night. You mentioned before we went on the air that there was one year canceled by COVID. Maybe it was during the interview, and one year that that the concert was actually snowed out. It was just such snow. But that is not going to happen this year, so it's not going to be.
Things are looking good.
Yes, unless one really, really wants snow on the ground for a Christmas concert, that's not going to be happening in this instance. So as I'm singing Irving Berlin's White Christmas, we'll really be thinking about those words. Of longing, somebody
we certainly will
in sunny California
it's
missing the days of white Christmas.
It's going to be a brown Christmas in Wisconsin.
Right. Well, what better way to get the sense of the season by attending this concert? Remind our listeners about exactly when and exactly where this concert is.
The concert will be taking place this Saturday evening, December 16th, starting at 7 o'clock p.m., and that will be in the Siebert Chapel on the campus of Carthage College. There will be a shuttle bus service transporting people back and forth to the lower south lot, so there's that to keep in mind. And if there's anybody who cannot attend Saturday night, the concert will be live streamed, thanks to the great people at Carthage College. I call them the stream team. We're going to be on the air. It won't be able to be watched in the future, but it can be watched in real time. And before I go here, I also want to point out that we have a special group performing during the concert, and that group is called Bon Appetit. It is a trombone ensemble. Many of our listeners heard them the past two summers playing in Pennoyer Park prior to one of our concerts, and that is a fun group, and they're going to be playing three Christmas selections part of the program Saturday night.
Fantastic. Craig Gall is the music director of the Kenosha Pops Concert Band. He and Kathy Ripley will be on the podium, along with Jim Ripley, our faculty host at Carthage, who will also conduct one number, and it promises to be a marvelous night of holiday music that everyone is sure to enjoy. Craig Gall, thanks for making time for this conversation, and we'll see you this weekend.
Thank you, Greg. We appreciate it.
And to finish out this portion of WGTD's morning show, here are the closing measures of the magnificent piece with which we started part two of today's morning show, namely Leroy Anderson's marvelous Christmas Festival, which will be part of the concert Saturday night by the Kenosha Pops Concert Band, A Kenosha Pops Christmas. I'm Gregory Berg. It's a minute before 9 o'clock here on WGTD. We remind you that the morning show is archived on our website, WGTD.org, and available as a podcast. Look for the morning show with Greg Berg. We will still have all new morning show interviews this coming week. We'll be dipping into the archives for favorites from earlier in the year for that last week of December. Let's take a quick look at our weather forecast for southeastern Wisconsin and northeastern Illinois. Today will be a mostly sunny day, very mild. Today's high temperature, 52 degrees, but clouding up overnight with a low of 38. Tomorrow's going to be a cloudy and rainy day with a high of 46 degrees. Clouds likely to linger on Sunday, again a high of 46 degrees. Sunshine early next week, but with that, colder temperatures, mid to upper 30s for daytime high. This is WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva, NPR.